Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today, we're going to be talking with Ann Rhodes. She is the founder of People Inc. and the author of the best-selling book, Built on Values. Ann helps organizations create people-centric cultures. She has served as the chief people officer at Southwest Airlines, DoubleTree Hotels, and JetBlue, and currently serves on the board of directors for P.F. Chang's and the executive council of Brigham's and Women's Hospital Center for Patient Safety in Boston. Ann, thank you for being on the show.
Well, it's great to be here.
No, thank you so much. We've now been doing the show about half a year, and it continues to grow an audience. And anytime we can bring on known national speakers, it also is a pleasure to do that, because I think getting the message out about the good work that people do always makes a difference.
I do, too. I agree.
All right. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, and I kind of in the introduction talked about a number of the companies you've worked at from or helped, from Southwest to DoubleTree to JetBlue. Tell me a little bit about this Built on Values process that you have.
Well, it's interesting. In working with those companies that have been very high performing in their competitive set, we found that they do something in common, and that is that they actually have a built-on-values model. So they literally define the values that the company stands for, and then the critical part that many companies do not do when they define the values is they also define the behaviors they want to see consistent behind each of those values. So for integrity, one of the behaviors might be tells the truth even when it's difficult. But they want to see that as a consistent behavior, and that's a critical part of this model that I think really gives them the high performance that they seem to enjoy.
When you're looking at this model or this process, tell me about how the process works, if you would. Maybe take us through an example of how it's used and some of the measures that go into it.
Okay, so let me give you a specific example. So JetBlue, when we were starting JetBlue, we decided that we wanted to really define who we wanted to be in terms of our values and our behaviors before we ever started flying. So we sat in a room, and there were only 10 of us at that time in New York. We sat in a room and we defined, first of all, we looked at those organizations that we thought were great, the kind of behaviors some of them had, and then we also, and the values. And then we said we also wanted to look at those that weren't so great, and what is it that they did consistently we want to make sure we don't do. So we brought people together at all different levels, which is what we suggest as the model. People that have been with you for a long period of time, short periods of time, people that are at different levels, including management, but also line employees at the very entry level. And then also we will often typically include either board members and or customers. And one of the things you'll see is they all bring different views. So the 30 or so people that you end up with in a room will contribute in a different way, but all of it's valid and helps make the process better. It typically takes about a day and a half. If you have your values, then you come together to define and to clarify the values, make sure those are the values you want to continue with. If you're an older organization that has had the values for a number of years, it's good to review those periodically. But if you're a brand-new organization, a startup, or someone who hasn't defined the values yet, you define the values first, and then you take each of those values and you define four or five really basic behaviors behind those values. We call them minimum behaviors. And then you go further and you talk about the players that you want to see, and you talk about your A players and make sure that those behaviors are consistent with the A players you have now. So if you have for instance, we have been in the hospital world, so a world of medicine, and there are consistent behaviors that A player nurses in ER might have that are consistent with the behaviors that organization wants to see everyone have. And so you define those behaviors, but we do tell people to look at their A players to help get that definition around the behaviors. And then what you do is you create a communication plan to go out and test those behaviors and values with the rest of the group of your employees. And so you will do groups of meetings around the organization. In the case of Juniper Networks, who was in, at the time they were in over 30 countries, they actually tested those in the various international offices because they wanted to make sure that those values were consistent throughout the organization. And they wanted to hear if there was any pushback on it. And they ended up with the values being reiterated and reinforced by the players. It also helps you, by the way, when you go out and you run these focus groups, it helps you get the buy-in early on so everyone believes they have input. And that's a critical part of this. And then you develop a communication plan on how you're going to communicate it. And literally, you start running with it 30 to 60 days after you've had the first meeting, typically.
Now, when you're beginning the process and you're looking at, you know, the different A players or the different processes that you're putting in place to select the behaviors, as you put it, in terms of what A players are and what the things you're looking for. For a company that may say to themselves, okay, I'm not a big player like JetBlue, or I'm not a big company like Southwest. How can I model this to something that will work in my organization? And then we'll get into the nuts and bolts. But I want to make sure that people who are out there maybe listening that are not thinking so big or globally, that they can see the value of it in a smaller organization.
So on early January, I'm going to meet for the second time with a very small IT startup. They have right now 5 players. They want to define who they want to be. So they want to sit in a room and talk about those behaviors that they think both their customers and they themselves would like to see people emulate that are part of that organization. And literally, they have been thinking about this for months. We started talking to them about 3 months ago. And they already, in their minds, have watched people. They've watched other organizations. And I tell people, look at those that you really want to emulate, and also look at those that you don't think are that good. And make sure that the behaviors you want to emulate are the ones that you define as part of your model and who you're going to be when you grow up. But we have worked with companies with as few as 2 people. And they are the people that are the founders, and they want to define who it is they're going to act and be like. And we tell them to look at, you know, the best cases, places like that you would want to frequent, and look at the behaviors those people have, and really copy those behaviors you think are great, and make sure you don't have those behaviors that aren't so great. So I ask them about their greatest examples. For instance, we were with a number of retailers. And I said, so what's the example of retail that you'd like to emulate in terms of behaviors? And consistently it came back, Nordstrom's. And so I said, so what is it you like about Nordstrom's? And they said they always get to yes. So that was one of the behaviors they wanted to see in their retail environments, people that were helping customers that got to yes. May not look and feel like they originally thought as a customer, but they got to yes for a customer.
So for companies that have now said, okay, this is something that I'm interested in, and you talked a little bit about select and retaining A players. So tell me a little bit about how the selection process would go about. I mean, we certainly understand that there are behaviors that they would look for, but tell me a little bit about how they would go through that process, and then obviously we'll talk about retaining those people afterwards.
We are fanatical over making hiring a systematic process. We do not believe that you should just go into a room and start asking questions to get to know someone. We think each question should be a question that gets you a significant answer in terms of who that person is. So let's just say integrity is one of your values, and we believe they should be values-based. We know you can get the competencies. You can look at the resume. You can ask questions on those competencies. You can call background. You can actually do a strong background check and find out whether, in fact, they have those competencies. But finding out if they have the values is not so easy. So one of the things, if a value is integrity, you want to know that they tell the truth even when it's difficult. So one of the things you ask is a behavioral question around, such as, give me an example of a specific example of a time when telling the truth was difficult. So, and you even put your job on the line doing it, potentially. And people that tell the truth and have high integrity will give you example after example. I can give you an example of it happening to me when my first job. I think other people have had it happen to them a number of times, but my favorite story is one that when we started JetBlue, we asked maintenance players that question. And one of them, I will never forget, he said that he put his job on the line and, in fact, got fired for telling the truth when he did not want to sign off on a plane shortly after he came out of A&P school. It cost him a lot to go to school. He had tons of debt. He had two children. He had to stay in the New York area for his wife's family. And he told the truth. He got fired. It's a small community. He was not hired anywhere, even though he was top in his class, not hired anywhere because he did that, and that rumor made, they said he was insubordinate. And he did not get hired for 2 years. The minute he gave us that example, he became a member of the JetBlue team.
Well, that's a great example and shows exactly what you talk about, is getting to the basic questions that understand who these people are and what they really value, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about, the value.
It's so critical. And when you find out, we just started, we are in the healthcare practice, in part of our practice, so we just started asking those questions of a brand new startup hospital. Do you know that the patient SAT score came back the highest they've ever had in the state of New Mexico? 92.9.
Wow.
And do you know that that doesn't happen? But they say it's because they got people that mirrored the values that just weren't just nurses, right? Or just docs. They were people that were not only competent as docs and competent as nurses, but they also had the values that were so critical to this organization. And the patients feel it, they see it, and they recognize it.
Well, I think it also comes down to the fact, especially if you're talking about an organization that may have been around a while, it's about reestablishing those behaviors. And sometimes people get promoted within organizations that because they do a task well or because they've delivered results well, but they're not necessarily the best people for management, for example. You take your key players, sometimes you put them in a role that needs to be, but it's not necessarily the best thing to make the behavior that is what you would expect from the organization. And this is a good way to go back and find out what the core values are.
And, you know, it sends a message to players that are there that this is the expectation. So if you're an older organization and people are on board and they see that you're defining these behaviors and you tell them that you expect now for them to behave that way? Do you know that when it becomes really consistent that the people that can't do it will self-eject many times?
Absolutely.
I was just talking to Zappos yesterday, and they were giving me examples of people doing that because they are very fanatical over the behaviors and the values, and they have found that it really works, and it's one of the things they credit with their success over the years, is that they're fanatical over having people behave in a way that is consistent with the values of Zappos.
You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
I love Maine, and I'm interested in Maine news.
But I want it quickly and simply.
All in one place would be good.
You've just described a great website.
Really?
MaineNewsSimply.com.
Maine news.
Three words. MaineNewsSimply.com. Go to the site and I'll explain. MaineNewsSimply.com collects news as it happens from news sources all over Maine. It's compiled and presented online in an easy-to-read format that keeps you up to date in just minutes. MaineNewsSimply.com is for people on the go who want the news of Maine fast, anywhere, anytime.
I'm on, and you're right. This is exactly what I asked for.
Discover what thousands of Mainers already have. Maine News Simply, the free online website and daily newsletter loaded with headlines and stories from close to 50 news sources.
Maine News Simply looks great, easy to read, current, interesting. I like it.
Try it today, and while you're there, sign up for the newsletter. It's all free. Three words, MaineNewsSimply.com. The smarter, faster way to stay on top of the news in Maine.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we are speaking with Anne Rhodes, founder of People Inc. and the author of Built on Values. Anne, again, thank you for being on the show. So, you know, we've been talking about the first segment about, obviously, the culture that is needed and, you know, hiring and retaining A players. So I talked a little bit before we off the air about selecting A players. Talk a little about retaining A players.
One of the things we believe and over the years have practiced is that constant recognition of the right behaviors and rewarding people around behaviors, not time and job. So you can be a 20-year employee and frankly be the best employee I have, or you can be a 20-year employee who has sort of lost their drive and not have the energy anymore for the organization or the brand. We continue to believe and have shown this through the years that recognizing those behaviors through the years and rewarding people based on the behaviors rather than on their seniority or rather on than on anything else really reinforces and invigorates the brand and the energy around people trying to deliver on the brand. So we typically will put in place, like, we suggest that you either carry cards in your pocket that have the values on one side, and then on the other side you write, when you see them immediately, you give them a card that has the value that you saw them exhibit, and on the backside you talk about how great it was to observe them behaving in a way that mirrored that value. People collect these, for instance, at Loma Linda Hospital in California, which is a very good hospital system. They collect those, and then when they get all the values, they get these little charm bracelet. It's a simple thing. It's very inexpensive. The most important thing, though, is people continue to carry those cards once they receive them, and they show their fellow employees. And by doing that, they're reinforcing the behaviors because the employee reads the back of the card and says, this is what they got the card for. I want one of those cards.
Well, you know, when we really think about training or developing or culture building or anything with an organization, small wins makes a difference. The ability to get a little bit of a small win here or there, it reinforces, and it truly is probably one of the best ways to ensure that you follow a path to success.
And I would just make a point, too. If you start sending, we do this often, some of the leaders at JetBlue, and frankly, I learned it at Southwest, the CEO would often send a letter when he saw someone behaving in an extraordinary way, but he would send it to their home because you also get the family engaged, and that small thing all of a sudden becomes a big thing. Then they bring it back to work and they show everyone. So I think it's critically important that you get the families involved, that they know when you're performing at a level that someone recognizes is above and beyond or even consistent with the values, maybe not so above and beyond, but consistent. And I think those little wins along the way reinforce the behaviors you want to have, which is really important in high-performing organizations.
Well, you know, you just made a good point, and that talks about the CEO and the C-suite level. I mean, the buy-in has to start there. Because they have to drive the bus, as you might want to put it. They have to be the ones that, it has to be top down, right? It has to be that they are truly engaged in this process. And when they make a statement or they send a letter or they, you know, provide the feedback, it certainly carries more weight.
Truly, it starts with the leaders. Frankly, the leaders drive the values. And people watch leaders to see how they behave. So if they're recognizing the right behaviors and the right values, and then they are exhibiting those same values, then they know that they're alive and well in that organization. It has to start with them. We worked once with a CEO who said, I love these values and behaviors. As soon as I get back to my office, I'm going to tell all the directors and below that they have to behave that way. I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. It starts with you. It doesn't start with your directors and below. It starts with the CEO. And if the CEO can't do it, do not put the words on the wall because they don't work.
You're absolutely correct. You know, this sometimes can create, especially when you're starting to make these changes, it can create employees feeling differently. And one of the things that I know you talk about in the book and have said many times, and I've heard you speaking, and about treating employees fairly but not equally. Can you define that? Because in today's HR world, you know, that almost seems like a violation of something.
It has for all the years that I've preached it, too, so this is nothing new. I don't treat people equally because people don't perform at equal levels. Now, if you had all A players in your organization, I would tell you treat them all equally, but we just don't have that. We say we do, but the reality is we don't. And there are people who will call in sick when they get a headache. And there are people who will come to work with a headache. This is a simplistic example. And never even question it and be there every day. And so when they need a day off, I'm going to give them the day off. When the other person who calls in all the time comes to me and says they need a day off, I'm going to question whether I really give that person the day off. Because honestly, I want to reward the right behaviors. And by rewarding them and by choosing, and I also want to choose people that are really A players to be on my hiring team, for instance. But I'm not going to choose my C players to be on my hiring team. So I'm not going to treat people equally. I'm going to have those that exhibit the right behaviors be the ones that I show up as and really put up as the example of what the expectation is.
Have you had an opportunity to deal with a situation where maybe when this is put in practice, there has been pushback by either directors or people, you know, in the organization have said, well, I don't know if this is going to work. You know, maybe after it's been implemented, somebody's going, no, I don't think that's fair. And how do you direct or how do you, you know, consult a, you know, a CEO or a director or a VP that says that is happening to them?
Well, you'll never not get, but it's guaranteed you'll get pushback. And that is until they see the results. So what we typically ask them to do is give us 90 days. And you're going to hear from people that aren't on the committee to hire. You're going to hear from people that aren't hired that are friends of employees. And you're going to hear all kinds of things. But give us 90 days to show you the effect. And we have yet, ever in our history of 12 years of doing this, since we've left the other organizations that we were with, in consulting with different companies, we have found that consistently 100% of the time people notice the difference in hiring. When you stay true to the values and the behaviors and you don't give in, Herb Kelleher will tell you, who is the CEO of Southwest, that we did not hire one of his relatives. And we did not give in because they did not make it through the hiring model. And when we put it in, there was pushback. And he said, well, let's go ahead and do it. Let's look at it for 90 days. But during that time, one of his relatives was not hired. And he even came up and said, you know what? You were right about that relative. So you will get pushback. All we tell people is sell it through the organization to give you a chance to try it in 90 to 120 days, and they'll see a real difference, and all of a sudden you have huge support. We've had heads of union heads at maintenance, which were the AFL-CIO. I had the Teamsters push back, saying that they didn't want me to hire someone using this methodology. And you know, at the end of the day, they became our biggest supporters.
Well, results, you know, win, right? Win over hearts and minds at the end of the day. You know, I was thinking there are times when you, I'm sure, as well as we do from our organization, deal with family businesses. And that certainly throws another dynamic into the mix in terms of that. As a matter of fact, we had a gentleman on a little while back. His name's Lori Stiebel. He's a gentleman down in and a partner of ours in the Boston area. And he talks about how to fire a friend and how to terminate that relationship. Not a fun relationship, but at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do for the business. And if you are setting and building values, you can't overlook if it doesn't fit the organizational cultural need.
Well, JetBlue, we had to fire the CEO. Today he's the CEO. At the time he was the president. We had to fire his best friend. He was a godfather of both his children. And you know what the employee said? When you did that, we knew the values were alive and well. And it sent a significant message throughout the organization. It was early on in our history, and it had to be done. Very significant player in terms of having the right skills, but not having the right values.
When you're talking about setting the values and cultures, and we've kind of gone through a little bit of the process here of talking about hiring and talking about treating employees and letting employees see what exactly is important, talk to us a little bit about what's the next step. In other words, once we've kind of set these expectations, how do you maintain it?
One of the things that we believe is that you start holding people accountable by making it part of their performance. review every year. We do it every 6 months at JetBlue, but minimally every year. And part of the review and the conversation on your conversation day, which we prefer to call it versus a performance review day, and you talk to them about, let's talk about the results you got, which is, are critical, but let's talk about how you got them. And the how you get those results is an evaluation of the behaviors and the values. And we think it's critical that you hold people accountable for that as much as you hold them accountable for getting the right results. The numbers that you put in place and the metrics have to work, but you have to get them the right way. So, for instance, it's very easy when you're trying to make your numbers to simply cut people. But is that the right way to do it? Is it right for your customers? Is it right for the organization? Or is it better to look at other ways to get the same numbers and then have the kind of level of customer service that you need to have? You and I have been experiencing that, certainly. I'm going to guess you have, because I certainly have during this recession. I think people think that the only way to get the numbers is to cut people. What happens is your customer service levels decrease. I just had it with two different companies. I ordered some things for the holidays, and one yesterday, I can't even describe to you how poor it was. And it used to be an absolutely outstanding organization with great service levels. It was so different. And then the woman complained and said they had just cut so many people that they couldn't get to me fast enough. They couldn't find the right information. I mean, it was just terrible.
Yeah.
And it's getting the right results, but the wrong way.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you can't cut yourself to success. You can't.
Right.
Certainly there is an element of making sure you don't have, fat in the system, of course, or redundancy when not needed. But, it's really about ensuring that the behaviors bring in the needed revenue or whatever it is that you're doing, if it's customer focus. You know, the lifeblood is customer. I always remember back, my dad used to work and, be in the teaching world, but he also had a job selling oil, which was, motor oil. And it would not only to companies, but to organizations. And the first thing companies would do when they're in trouble is they'd cut maintenance. Well,
right.
Why would you cut maintenance when that's the lifeblood of the organization?
It's ridiculous.
You'd cut maintenance, and next thing the machines break down more, and they produce less, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's the same as I would define in people. It's the same thing.
Ridiculous.
So, from that aspect, I certainly understand what you're saying, and I think that you're right. It is about accountability and holding them accountable. I do like the term conversation day. I'll have to remember that. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I love that.
That's a great term. But don't the performance evaluations themselves have to align directly to the values?
Yes. In fact, we would say that there are two parts. The one part is that you literally talk about, did you achieve the goals for the year? The second part is you actually go through the behaviors and the values, and you typically have peers review you, peers that are with you all day and work with you. So a flight attendant who's flying every day, the manager is not observing their behaviors every day, but people that fly with them are. So you have people that really are in a position to observe the behaviors every day, evaluate people on, are they doing the right thing for the organization behaviorally? So that is part and parcel of what we think are good review systems. And we practice that very much with the organizations we work with. We have them hold them accountable also on the behaviors.
In terms of the performance reviews, there's a lot of discussion about not only doing the reviews, but as you said, rewarding every day, or rewarding at least when you see and getting that behavior.
Yes.
How do you make sure that individuals understand that you can over-reward too, and that it's only truly when they do something extraordinary?
It means nothing if you keep telling them they're doing a great job, every 5 minutes, when in fact you aren't. I think really when you reward is when you can describe why you're rewarding them, and that it directly relates then to what you've defined as the right behaviors. Now, there may be a nurse. Let's just take nurses because I just happen to be thinking about them. But there may be a nurse that every single day goes out of his or her way to absolutely behave in an extraordinary way. Well, then certainly you should tell them every day. But that's pretty unusual. I would tell you, though, when you see that nurse or that orderly or someone else in that environment behave exceptionally, be sure and tell them and don't wait at the end of the year for their review. You know, we typically give a review and think of the things they didn't do right. When you reward people all year and by telling them specifically what it is they did that was excellent in terms of behaviors, you're sending the message all year that reinforces and probably delivers on a higher level of total performance for the year.
Well, you know, it's the halo and horn effect, right? You only remember what they did in the last few months. You may not remember the great thing they did 11 months ago. Gosh, I barely remember what I did yesterday, let alone 11 months ago. And it's true, and it's human behavior. You just don't necessarily think that far back. You just remember what they did, and it's the negative is more powerful than the positive sometimes in your memory. And that's not necessarily the way it should be, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You are,
and that happens to all of us.
No, it absolutely does. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Every second, someone turns to OnStar for help.
I just woke up and my car was stolen.
I hate that you had to call us under these circumstances.
But I'll be happy to assist you.
Are you in a safe location?
Yeah, the car was in the driveway. My wife's car was behind mine. I come out to get the newspaper. Her car's out in the street. So they pushed her car out to get to my car.
Do you have the stolen vehicle report number?
550.
Now you can add this kind of protection to your car with new OnStar FMV.
Police Department.
I have a location on a stolen vehicle. It's just off of Riddler Brook Court. It's stationary.
Thanks, OnStar. We have 3 units going out there.
This is Keith.
This is the OnStar Center. We have located the vehicle. Police, you'll be contacting you shortly.
Okay, thanks so much.
OnStar is built into most new Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. And now, you can even add it to your car with new OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for FMV retailers, availability, system limitations, and details.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com. And we are back on the HR Power Hour, produced and sponsored by Career Management Associates. Anne, thank you again for being on the show. You know, it's funny, I was just looking at your bio, and of course I talked about this a little earlier when I did your introduction, but it says you're on the board of P.F. Chang's.
I was. We just sold the company to an investor, so we are all leaving the board, but it was a great experience. I loved that company.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was going to ask you that question because I realized there had just been a sale in that, and I said, well, are you going to be staying on or how that's going to work?
Yeah, no, the whole board is disbanded because the investor becomes the board, so it's really great experience, though, having been back in that environment. I have a lot of respect for the way that company is run. It's a values-based company. It's run by a terrific CEO who lives and breathes it and is the best example of living the values of anyone in the company. He's terrific.
No, that's great. All right, well, I wanted to get back to talking about what certainly we've had a good first segment on, the first half of the show, which is this concept of getting the culture right, in terms of the organization, and values blueprinting process. Tell me about delivering extraordinary customer-centric service levels. It's an area that you talk a lot about in the Built on Values.
Yes, I'm pretty fanatical that if you deliver on the values model and people behave consistently in a way that mirrors those values, that you will see the results in your customer sat surveys. And if you're in the hospital world, you'll see it in your patient satisfaction surveys. One thing that we found at JetBlue is our employees have been extremely satisfied with working for the organization. Our employee surveys show us that we have highly engaged employees. And that's what you want, because highly engaged employees deliver the customers when you're not around. So on our flights every day, we get feedback. We actually ask, I believe, about 30 people for every flight. And we ask them in emails to give us the level of satisfaction that they have experienced on the flight. And we consistently hear that our people are happy campers. They are people that are delivering on the brand, and they build that brand every time they deliver to me, at least in my experience, every time they deliver to a customer in a way that exceeds their expectations. They build the brand in a positive way. You can build it in a negative way too, but they build it in a positive way. And so what we try to do is we try to understand and get organizations to understand that you are on the outside what you are on the inside. It's very difficult to tell employees to be great to customers when you are not treating them well. And in fact, that usually doesn't happen, at least in our experience. So we tell people to build a strong behind-the-scenes model with your people around values and behaviors and around the right reward systems. And the result will be that you create this employee-centric organization that everyone is focused on delivering on the brand. And I believe that that is what great organizations do.
When you're talking about measuring customer focus, tell me a little about what you think are great tools that help measure this, and certainly, you know, we've had some people on like Don McPherson who have talked about some, you know, surveys and so forth out there. Tell me about your thoughts on the proper way to survey either your employees or your customers, or your thoughts on all that.
Well, it's very interesting. I have been a Fred Reichheld fan for years, and he says there's only one important question, and it is, let's just take the case of JetBlue. Would you recommend JetBlue as a place for family and friends to fly, as an airline to fly? And it's been very interesting because he said it only matters. They ask him to rate it on a 0 to 10. And it's called the Net Promoter Score, the score that you end up with when you subtract the promoters from the non-promoters from the promoters. And I think it's very interesting because today in our environment, we aren't willing to spend time, like someone will call me and say, will you answer 1 minute's worth of questions? And it becomes 20 minutes. And what you find in today's environment, people want to ask one or two questions. And what we want to know is if they wouldn't recommend us, why? So we asked then, why, what would you change about us? And a great story is that our New Yorkers, when we started JetBlue, we thought they would all want very expensive, good coffee. And I think the coffee was from some famous coffee place, actually. I don't remember the name. But they told us they didn't want that. They told us they wanted Dunkin' Donuts. It saved us $100,000, but only did we change. And we took out a big a full-page ad in the New York Times when we switched to Dunkin' Donuts, which I thought was great. But it is interesting, if you don't really listen to what they tell you on those surveys, regardless of what survey you use. And by the way, there are tons of surveys out there. Some are more impactful than others. Some get you results faster. All I would tell you is whatever survey you use, listen to what they're telling you and read. If they give you feedback on email, read the emails if you're a leader. I used to read, as the head of HR, I would read the emails from our customers every single month, or the feedback we got, written feedback. In whatever way we got it, I would go read it because I felt that it was telling me whether I'm hiring the right people, whether we have the right operations around our training and the right behaviors. So as an HR player, sometimes we forget we really are in the customer. To me, we're in a customer service role, and we need to find out what that customer is saying about us. So whatever feedback method you use, and all companies use, or at least the majority of companies I've worked with, all use some kind of feedback. And whether you use a Net Promoter Score, or you use Gallup, or you use any of those tools that are out there today, or SurveyMonkey, which is a free way to do it online, whatever you use, make sure that you probably have fewer rather than more questions, and secondly, that you read the feedback, because it's invaluable.
Well, it's also about the questions, too, right? Because, you know, anytime you can do a survey, I mean, I think if you're going to just say on a global scale, you can think of any survey can be made to say almost anything. Any statistic can be made to almost say anything.
You're
right. It's based on the question. So are part of the things that an organization should look at is, what is it that the question is asking that relates to the values or that the culture or to the bottom line core result that you're looking for, correct?
Yes. And so you need to decide what that is before you start asking the questions. And I would tell you that it's probably better to design your own questions than just take these questions that everyone else uses. Though I will tell you the value of having the same questions is then you can compare to people in your competitive set in terms of how you look versus how they look. It's difficult to compare when you aren't using the same questions.
No, that's a great point. Certainly a great point. You talk about focus on defining the metrics for all. So sometimes it may be that, certainly on the core values and things like that, you could say, hey, everybody would have the same values. Talk about the other metrics for all and how you would define that and how they should focus on it.
Other metrics would be in terms of individual performance and what the responsibilities are for the job. So the metrics, for instance, and I would still relate them back to the values, by the way. So it's for people in HR, it's how fast do we fill the jobs? What was the performance level of the people over the year of the people that we filled the jobs with? And we would go back to supervisors, and we literally look at to see if the we have increased the performance levels of the people filling the jobs over the year before. So you always, my goal is always to get better than last year, next year to be better. So you want to think of the things that would, your managers, and I always work with the operators, because I think to set those metrics for us in the HR side, we need to talk to the operators to see what's important to them, not just your typical HR measures, but what operators define as important to them. Because at the end of the day, they're up there running the organization, right? We're supplying the people that will help them make that better organization, but we need to understand how they define that. So I would go sit with the operators and say, what is it that would help you that we can do? Now, what metrics should we set that would be an indicator of us helping you get the job done and building the brand?
At the end of the day, it is about achieving bottom-line results because, you know, no matter if you're working with shareholders, stockholders, or, you know, individual person who owns a business, it is about bottom-line results. So, you know, can you share a story or two maybe of organizations and how they have really seen bottom-line results improve by using this method?
Yes. So let's just use Loma Linda, or I can use hospital system where we've been tracking it since we've been there for about 4 years, or we could use Juniper Networks. I just hung up with them 2 days ago and we talked about their results. For instance, they were having a tough time retaining at the time, recruiting and retaining. I think they hire about 800 engineers a year. And what they found out was by having the values and the behaviors defined and more clearly knowing who they wanted to hire and then hiring those players, that not only did their retention, which to them is critical, and their retention improved, but they also improved on their performance evaluations. They also have defined a new way to have a conversation day around the behaviors. So for the engineers, it's critical what they design and what they develop. But what they found out is that they are happier in an environment that meets their values and where people behave in a way that is consistent with their values. By hiring people around the values model, you find people that really like being with one another. You will decrease your turnover, which means you, we are told at least, that the cost, for instance, of a nurse is almost $100,000 a year for when you talk about turnover and the mistakes that they can make when they come in, and the recruiting, because there are still so few of them that you have to pay someone to recruit them. And so there are hospitals that say the range is from $47,000 to $100,000. And we have, in every single case, when they put in the values model, like at Loma Linda, they took one of their turnover rates from 36% to 9%. And it's still going lower. They increase their patient sat from a high 70s, which is good, really, in their environment, to 99.1 at their new cardiology hospital.
Wow.
So you can imagine the savings and the fact that they have just by not having the turnover. And then the fact that when you don't have the turnover and you have A players who consistently role model the values of the organization, you can understand why the quality and safety numbers are better, too.
No, that's absolutely true. You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At Geico, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And you are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're going to the last segment here with Ann Rhodes. Ann, I got to tell you, we've had a great conversation today about really developing a values blueprint within an organization. Your book, Built on Values, is something we've been talking a lot about. Tell me how that book has really helped in moving an organization from being just a good organization to being a great value-centered one, and maybe how it's being used out there and how organizations and companies and individuals can get the book and talk about it. So tell me all about it.
Well, first of all, it was great to put in writing our model that we've been using for years and developed over the years into a systematic way to build a values-based culture. The book is going into its second printing. We actually just made the CEO bestseller list, and we're proud of that because that's who we want to pick this up, the leaders in the company, because it's a prescriptive for building these values-based companies. And we've been hearing from a number of leaders who are actually taking the book, and every month or every week they're looking at a chapter and they're actually implementing it, because you can do that by buying the book. You'll actually see how to do this. And over the years we have tried it in a variety of organizations and different practices, from healthcare to retail to environments like airlines. And we've taken what we've learned and hopefully made a model that anyone, any size, a startup or a very large organization. We just worked with J.P. Morgan Chase's retail group in New York and around the world, and they took the model. And so it really is, whether you're a new organization or a startup or a small or a large, for-profit or not-for-profit, it can help you create these values-based organizations. And we're very proud that people are using it and saying that it works. So we're happy campers. Second printing, which usually is an indicator that people are buying it, that are telling their teams then to buy it. We just had a CEO write us yesterday and say that he bought it for his whole management team, and they literally are going to put it throughout the organization, which is an older organization. They've had values, but they wanted to reiterate them, and they have not defined the behaviors, which is critical to our model. And so they're going through that process. And they call each week and kind of want some hand-holding, so we do that too. So feel free, if you buy the book, to call us if you get into an area that you think perhaps isn't working the way it should, just holler at us and we'll be glad to talk you through it.
Well, certainly after this broadcast on the HRPowerHour.com, we will certainly have a link which will go right to you, and certainly anybody that wants to go out there and not only look at what the book's all about and get in touch with you and maybe listen to the show or have others listen to it, it will all be there for them to link to and download. So I think that's certainly a great way for people to get a hold of you. You have been the founder of People Inc. now for 12 years. Talking about culture and talking about helping organizations create a people-centric culture. Maybe share with us as we get into the last couple minutes of the show, tell me what are some of the surprises you've seen out there that maybe you've had to deal with in either growing your business in this area or dealing with organizations and people in general.
Well, something that I guess shouldn't have been so surprising is that it's reiterated to us each week that it's all about the leadership. And it's about, I have found that the leaders that have been successful, I've always believed it, but now it's been reinforced over the years, are the ones who are self-confident, not arrogant. The ones that are arrogant and believe that have these great values and everybody's living them seem to be somewhat blind to the rest of the organization and don't do as good a job as those that are very self-confident but know that we can always get better. I think Jim Collins was right when he said moving from good to great is a constant project. It isn't something that you all of a sudden accomplish and you stop working on it. So the great leaders we found are the ones that consistently work at not only getting to great but staying great.
Well, I think that is about continuing to grow, right?
If
you're just stagnant and assume that it is going to stay the same or that the culture, the way we decreed it, it shall be, does not necessarily help the situation at all, and you don't get great results.
I've certainly
seen you at a number of the seminars that you've done. You did the main HR convention, and certainly Bud and Bud Bernstein, as you know, New England Law Publishers, is a great sponsor of the show and speaks very highly of you, and I've seen you in practice. So I got to tell you, I want to thank you for that, and I know you're up at the Omnimont Washington New England Strategic Conference as well, correct?
Yes.
And we lived through the hurricane up there, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It came in while we were there, so we were held over a few days. But what a great place to be held over a few days.
Oh, I know. It was a great hotel, no question about that. Do you have any other speaking engagements coming up, and now that it's the beginning of the year, that you'd like to share with the group or share with the audience?
Sure. On our website, peopleinc.com, and it's one word with a K, not a C. It's peopleinc.com. We actually have the speaking schedule, and we've already booked a number for next year. We have SHRM conferences. We have a number of organizations, major companies that we actually are speaking to. So, and we're working a lot with Vintage, which is a CEO forum group. And so we're at a number of their events next year. So we're excited, and Washington Speakers Bureau is our partner, so they keep us busy.
No, that's great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today. You've been a great guest, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now your HR tip of the week. Are you aware that January 2013 is National Mentoring Month? This is a perfect time for employers that may be interested in establishing an external mentoring program to learn about how they can get started and enjoy the benefits of providing employee mentors while helping their local community. And that's your HR Tip of the Week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we have Jerry LaBelle. He's a nurse practitioner with WorkMed at St. Mary's Hospital in Auburn, Maine. He is going to be talking about the aging workforce today, how employers and employees are dealing with the impact of this increasing demographic. Our second guest will be Susan Dent. She is an author of the book Responsibility Rules. Susan uses her professional experiences to help leaders shape a culture of responsibility and accountability to spark organizational innovation and growth. Catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.